Turn with me to 1 Peter, where we left off last Sunday. 1 Peter chapter 1. We are starting a new study of the book of 1 Peter. We mentioned to you in introducing the book last week that we are going to try, by God's help, to look at all sides of truth, especially the subject that is the focal point in so many of our Pentecostal fellowships these days. And that is the subject of faith, prosperity, healing, a well-rounded understanding of all sides of that truth is so necessary in order for us to see God glorified. There is no way to walk with God except by faith. Now, do we all understand that? It is by faith. Faith in God can move the mighty mountains. But God has allowed, in training us in faith, to allow us to go through cycles of growth. And in those cycles of growth, there are those times of severe testing. Faith cannot be faith if it cannot stand the test. Faith is faith when you can't see a thing happening and you still believe God. Faith is faith when you pray and it looks like things are going all the wrong way and you say, "My God reigns." Hallelujah. That's faith. God, in building faith, allows us to go through times of severe suffering. And there will not be one Christian that will get into the golden city and see those pearly gates and meet the Lord face to face who has not had his school of suffering. God has promised, "They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I have never heard a Christian claim that promise, but it is one. It is a promise of God. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It will happen. And if you don't understand that side of this subject, when that starts to happen, you're going to think there's something dreadfully wrong with your faith, that God is punishing you, and for some reason you are now being disciplined by the Lord. That is another side of this truth. Hebrews 12 teaches us that there are times when suffering is discipline, so we need to search our hearts when suffering comes and know if it is indeed discipline or if it is testing of our faith and trial of our faith. And so let me read with you the verses that we covered and go on now this morning. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, aliens or strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, we talked about that last week, so let's go on. We have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Now, if you like to write in your Bible, I would advise you to write in the literal meaning of the word sanctify. Put it somewhere near that verse. Because the word sanctify means to put to its intended use. To put to its intended use. In other words, when God sanctifies you, He finally gets you doing what He made you to do. He finally has you cooperating in doing the thing that He designed you for. He chose us by His foreknowledge, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. The Spirit sanctifies us for what purpose? For obedience to Jesus Christ. That's why the Spirit sanctifies us, so we can obey Jesus Christ. I am sanctified to obey the Lord. Say it with me. I am sanctified to obey the Lord. Say it again. I am sanctified to obey the Lord. That's why he did it. I have problems obeying the Lord sometimes. How about you? It isn't always easy to obey the Lord. There are times when my flesh rises up and gets right in the way. I have been sanctified to obey the Lord. For obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm glad there's not a period there. If there were a period there, I guess I would have to look at myself and say, now, come on, something's wrong with me. Either I wasn't chosen or I wasn't sanctified, because there's times that I don't obey the Lord. What do I do when I disobey the Lord? For obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Will you write the word underneath that or alongside of it in your margin? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. That's what the sprinkling of the blood is. If you remember, that's pointing back now to the old tabernacle worship, when everything had to be sprinkled with the blood. Blood of the sprinkling of blood speaks of forgiveness. And brothers and sisters, when you have failed the Lord 623 times and you feel that it's no use to try, I want you to know there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Hallelujah. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Ephesians, just for a moment, go with me to Ephesians 1:7. I just want to talk to you about forgiveness for a minute. Ephesians 1:7. And I want you to know, you folks that like it hot, that I'm leaving it this way this morning and not asking for any cooling to be put on. Just enjoy it, you folks that like it warm, all right? Are you nice and warm? Yeah, okay. So am I. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood. The what? The forgiveness of sins. Will you underscore that in your Bible? We have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We have forgiveness. Hallelujah. You see, the devil tells you that though you ask God to forgive you, he really didn't. And the devil is always there with accusation to tell you, you just are playing. You're just making believe. You really aren't forgiven. I am so happy to proclaim boldly today that Satan is a liar. Hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does what? It cleanses us from all sin. Quickly go with me to the 130th Psalm. I was so impressed with this psalm in reading it 2 weeks ago. And I just want you to go over it quickly with me. Psalm 130. You might want to write the word forgiveness over the top of it. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Did you ever? Did you ever cry to him out of the depths? Come on, did you? Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, should keep a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are to be feared. Now, do you hear that? You see, if you really understand forgiveness, it does not make you live a loose life. Some people are so afraid that if people fully understand forgiveness, they'll just go out and keep sinning because they'll think God will keep forgiving. Listen what he says. because there is forgiveness with you, therefore you are to be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Now, you know what that's saying? Have you ever struggled to keep awake? See, in those days, the best thing they could use as an illustration would be the person who was on watch, trying to keep awake. He was the watchman, and he couldn't go to sleep, struggling. I think if it was being written today, he would say, more than somebody driving on the turnpike and trying to stay awake. You ever done it? Open the window, stick your head out, do everything you can, and your eyes still keep going like that. David said, my soul waits for the Lord more than a person who's waiting for the first crack of dawn. And he repeats it twice. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Hallelujah. Turn back to 1 Peter quickly. And so we have been chosen by the Lord, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for forgiveness, the sprinkling of His blood. Hallelujah. What a plan. Go right on into verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a beautiful benediction of praise. In His great mercy. Now, these are some words that you ought to mark in your Bible as we go through. Because of His great mercy. You see, we have salvation. This is all talking about salvation, eternal life. It is because of God's mercy and His mercy alone. When we step into heaven, I'm sure we're going to want to sing, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that was greater than all my sin. Because we will know as we step into heaven's door, we did nothing to deserve this. We are not here because of anything we have done. It was the grace of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He hath given us what? New birth. New birth. I want to take a moment to talk to you about new birth, just for a moment. Every one of us were born. We are here because we were born. Our first birth got us into the family of Adam, the first Adam. Our first birth got us into the family of the human race. And if we abide in our first birth, we are going to live our lives as sinners. Now, there are different kinds of sinners. There are moral sinners and immoral sinners. There are sinners who get drunk and sinners who don't. There are sinners who get high on drugs and sinners who don't. But they're all sinners. And so, God says, the sickness with which you were born in your spirit must be healed. And the only way it can is that you must first die so you can be brought back to a new life. Jesus, death on the cross is your answer. You die with Him to sin, you get buried with Him, and that old life is put away, and you are raised with Him. It's a new birth, born again. The old life is so bad that you can't fix it up. You can't reform it. You can't dress it in different clothes. It's got to die. And out of those ashes comes a brand new life. Would you take just a moment to let me explain that with another scripture in Titus? Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. That's a little third T. Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus. Titus 3, verse 3. This is the best picture I know of why we have to be born again. At one time, Titus 3:3. At one time we were too foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having hope of eternal life. All right, quickly, go back now to 1 Peter. In His great mercy, He hath given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Into a living hope. Now, I want you to remember that the moment you were born, you did receive some things. Can somebody be quick enough to call out to me, what is one thing you received the instant you were born? Life, okay? What? I couldn't hear that. Oh, the sin nature, yes, okay. Come on, you received something else. A name, you received a name. Maybe not the first one, but you had a last one. You received your father's name as soon as you were born. And most babies receive love the moment they're born. If you've had the privilege of being there and watching one of your children born, you know that the instant that child comes into this world, out of its mother's body, something happens inside. There is another whole realm of love unlocked in you. And you thought when your first child was the only one you had, how can I ever love another child like this? But it happens, boom.